Now, what I would like to do is just three very short readings. The first one is in Psalm 32. And before we do that, we would remind you there is the Bible Explorers Children's Meeting tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. On Wednesday evening at 7:30, we have our prayer meeting and Bible reading, and John Blair is leading us in Philippians chapter 2. And then there is a Bible teaching meeting here at 8 o'clock on Saturday night. And then this day next week, at this time next week, our brother David Wiley will be preaching the gospel in this meeting. So we're going to all those announcements are made subject to the will of the Lord. So first of all, one verse from Psalm 32. It's a favourite verse of mine, this. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. And over the page to Psalm 34 and verse 8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And finally, John chapter 1, the Gospel of John chapter 1. Verse 10. He was in the world, that is, he's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. That's quite a statement. And the world knew him not. He came unto his own, that is Israel, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And may God add a blessing to the reading of his word. We read in Psalm 32, and it was written by King David. And if you would have asked David, what do you consider to be the greatest blessing in life? I suppose you might have thought he could have answered in many ways. David was a great poet. He was a great warrior. He was a maker of musical instruments. He was a great king and statesman. And King David had many things, many blessings in life that he could have talked about. But the greatest blessing to David, I believe, was this: the forgiveness of sins. He said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. And it's a good place to start our meeting at that point, that here is your greatest need and my greatest need, the forgiveness of sins. And David said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. And how, you say, can we have our sins forgiven? And how do I know I need my sins forgiven? Well, we can read the story of Adam, our first parent, and how he had sinned. And that moment that he sinned, he died to God. And the moment that Adam sinned, he was lost to God. And it affected all his descendants right to this day. We are all born damaged goods by Adam's sin. And in our natural state and by our natural birth, we are dead to God. And we are lost to God. We need to be forgiven. We need to be saved. And how can such a thing be? It applies to everybody. There are no exceptions. And not one person can cure themselves of their sins or cleanse themselves of their sins. Everybody needs a saviour. There's not one person in this room who, by their good works or by their religion or by anything at all, can actually address the problem of their sin. Whatever they try, they will still be a sinner after it. But the news of the gospel is this, that God sent his Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And we read that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. So there is personal salvation for sinners. That is so important to grasp that and not to let it go. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And how then can we be forgiven? Well, we can be forgiven the moment that we look to the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on Calvary's cross. Christ died for our sins. And that according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So Calvary's cross is God's provision for the sinner. And it's the answer to the sinner's problem and to the sinner's need. Now that is good news for everyone in this meeting. And if there's an anxious soul in the meeting and they're thinking to themselves, I'm not ready to die, and I want to know and be sure that I am ready to die, well, we can point you to Calvary's cross, that the Lord Jesus died on that cross, that you might believe in him, have your sins forgiven, and be ready to die. That's wonderful. And so, if there's someone anxious tonight, the good news is this, that God, it's God's will for you that you might be saved. And sometimes I think, if a preacher can't look his audience in the eye, every single person, and if he can't say to them, it's God's will for you that you might be saved, well, he needs to revisit his theology. I tell you, that's good news for everyone in this meeting. Calvary's cross is for the whole world, and you can be saved, and you can face death and eternity in full assurance that my sins are forgiven. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Don't miss God's salvation, whatever you do. Now, when the person puts their faith in Christ and comes into the forgiveness, he tastes something of the goodness of God. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, the psalmist says. And it's a wonderful thing to have tasted something of the goodness of God in our lives and in salvation and in forgiveness. And the psalmist says, blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And I can say to you this evening, I am glad I'm a Christian. I'm glad I'm forgiven, and I wouldn't want to be back in my sins for 1,000 worlds. And it's a wonderful thing to be saved, and if you're not saved, you give it your serious consideration this very evening. Now, I've been asked to give my testimony in this meeting, and I'm glad to do that, but the person that one is testifying to is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about oneself, but it's about Christ. And to testify or to tell your testimony is to tell people what Christ has done for you, and it is Christ who is the center of the message. So please bear that in mind. Now, I was born in the town of Portadown. I was and the third son of four brothers. So my father was saved as a young man in the city of Londonderry when he would have been about 18 years of age. And my mother was brought up on the Donegal Road in Belfast, and at about 15 years of age, she was saved through the preaching of W.P. Nicholson. So that's going back a bit. And so my parents, they married, they had a family. The first two sons were born in Derry. The second two, including me, were born in Portadown. Now, the great thing that my parents wanted for their family was that their sons, their boys, would be under the sound of the gospel constantly. And the memories of my parents, I have tremendous memories of them. I didn't appreciate it at the time, but I know that my parents had something that I didn't have. And I would describe them as they loved the Lord, and they loved his people, and they loved his word. That's how I would describe my parents. And that I consider that to be a great privilege. But maybe you can't relate to that. Maybe you can't say that about your parents. That makes no difference, because each person needs to be saved and get to Christ for themselves. And that is very important. So you don't start, as it were, you don't start with more points than other people who don't have Christian parents or anything like that. We are all sinners, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, so my experience as a boy, many in the room will relate to it. There would have been Sunday school, there would have been gospel meetings, there would have been series of meetings, and so on. But as time went on and I went into my teens, and I began to rebel, and sin can be a very deceitful thing, the friends in Portadown, we started to socialise and social drinking and that at the weekends and so on. And it came to a point where, well, I was causing my parents a great heartbreak. We were heavy into social drinking and that kind of thing. And I was beginning to live just as if there were no judgment and as if it didn't matter. It's a very careless state of mind to get into. But we left Portadown and we moved to the town of Lisburn. In Lisburn, there were new friends, but they were the same kinds of friends. It didn't change me at all. But I do remember one point, actually coming very close to salvation. And in fact, I was on my knees by my bedside, and I pulled back. I'll never forget that. I pulled back because I didn't have the courage to go in and tell people in work or to tell mates that I had become a Christian or that I had got saved. And after that, for a long time, I had no thoughts about it at all. But then there came a day when I left home and I moved into a flat with a flatmate on the Stranmillers Road in Belfast. And now the restrictions of the Christian home were now lifted. And I had thought this is freedom. One can now do what they want. and you don't have anybody to explain to where you were and so on, or about your habits and so on. And so sin, it's very deceitful, because it looks very attractive, and the parties and the drinking and the music and all the rest, it all looks very attractive, but really, in the end, it turns out to be empty. And I was playing music in a group. We were playing traditional music, and the social life now was always in pubs and so on. So I'd gone a very different road to the way I was brought up. And I do still try to keep in contact with the friends of those days. Some of them have passed on into eternity, but most of them are still around. And it began just a life of sort of pubbing and that kind of thing. Now, there came a point where a musician friend was taken into hospital on Boxing Day, and we were down in Dublin to play music, and we got word that our friend, he had been taken into hospital for exploratory surgery and so on, but it turned out what he had was terminal, and he died, and we got the word in Dublin. And to me, if I can trace a moment to when I started to think about eternity again, it would have been at that time. And I began to think, if I got that kind of news, how would I react? How would I cope with this? To be told that I was going into eternity, that I had 3 weeks or 3 months or something like that, and I was going into eternity and I was in my sins. Now that is a terrifying thought. And I began to think more and more. Now it was over a period of time, it wasn't all of a sudden, but when I was leaving home, my mother had put a New Testament in my baggage. And I began to read the New Testament, and I actually bought a Bible. From time to time, I was reading it, and I was beginning to think, where is my life taking me? And where does all this end? And I was reading the Bible almost like a believer. I had no doubts about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I never doubted his deity or his sinless humanity. I had no problems with Darwinism and all that sort of stuff. And I was living like a fool. I was heading for a lost eternity, just sleepwalking into it, because I believed, I had come to the conclusion, I need to be saved. And I'm going the wrong direction. I'm going downwards. And the more I thought about it, there was something in me now, I wanted to be saved. I wanted to belong to Jesus Christ. And I thought, I wonder, could there be meetings on that I could go to? In those days, on Saturday night, the Belfast Telegraph had a whole page of church notices and meetings. And I looked at them, and I saw that there were meetings in Ormo Road Gospel Hall, Belfast. There were two Scottish speakers, a Mr. Joe Merson and a Mr. John Burns. Now, they wouldn't have known me, and I assumed the people of Ormo Road wouldn't know me. So I went along, and I remember going out that first night. I went to the wrong Gospel Hall to begin with, and then made my way to Ormo Road and sat at the back. And I found myself going back each night, and I wanted to be saved. Now, it had been a long time since I had sat in gospel meetings, certainly in a series of gospel meetings. But the more I heard the gospel, the more I wanted to be saved. And the devil, of course, threw up all kinds of things. You're going to make a fool of yourself. It'll just be a sham, and you'll be back in a short time to what you're doing, and so on. But as I was reading, I wanted to be saved. And in the meetings in Omer Road, Mr. Merson asked me on the way out one evening, would you like to speak about it, or you'd like to speak to me? They didn't know who I was, so I said, yes, I would. And he read to me the verses I read to you from John's Gospel, that as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, I knew I needed to be saved. There had to be a moment in my life when I would receive Christ or believe in him or be saved, whatever language you want. But there is a moment of conversion in a person's life where they pass from death onto life, and from the power of Satan onto God. There is a moment of conversion. And if you're not sure about that, make sure that you're saved. And it was later that night, I went home, and it was in the early hours then of St. Patrick's Day, 1977. It's gone back a year or two. 1977, when I wanted to be saved more than anything. And I realized, I was just thinking, if the Lord is going to save me, he can save me now. And I got out of my bed and down on my knees, and accepting that on Calvary's cross, Jesus died for me, I put my trust in him as my Savior, and asked him to save me. The next day, you say, is that all was to it? I just came to him as I was. And I was all messed up inside. My thinking was a bit crazy at that point. But I came to the Lord Jesus, and I just trusted in him, in that he had died for me. And he had made provision for me, and had died for my sins. And that was enough for God, and it was enough for me. So the next morning, worked in Tonbridge at the time, and I picked up two other people, and people I'd been socializing with, and I said, prepare yourself for a shock. I became a Christian last night. Those were the words I used. I went into work and told the boss and the people in work. And it was lovely to be able to tell people you were a Christian. The devil had told me, you'll never do it. And when you do it, when you actually do it, it's like a weight off your shoulders. And it's lovely to be able to tell an old friend that you socialized with, look, I'm finished with the pubs, I'm a Christian. And to be able to explain what it was you had done. Now, later that night, I went back to the gospel meeting that night, and I told them that I had got saved that night, and I made my way over to Lisburn, where my parents lived, and it was about 9:30. They were sitting having a cup of tea and so on, and I told them of something to tell you, and that I had become a Christian the night before. And there were tears of joy. And I say to anyone who has unsaved adult children, don't give up praying for them, because you do not know the desire that is in their heart to be saved. And so that became very close to my father after that. My father and mother are both in heaven now. But about 6 months later then, I got baptized in Omer Road Gospel Hall, and the people in the group came. They were mostly from a Catholic background. It was Irish traditional music, and they came and they were very respectful. And other friends from the past came right back to teenage days in Portadown, and that was lovely. And I just wanted people to know that I had put my trust in Christ, and what he had done for me, he could do for them. And looking back on it, I can see how deceitful sin is. It can draw a person, and you think that this is what life is about, partying and pubbing and all that kind of stuff. And really, it's an empty thing. That is an empty thing in the end. So if there's a young person and you're coming to a point of leaving home for university or something, don't be deceived by sin. The greatest blessing is to have your sins forgiven now. And the greatest blessing is to put your trust in the Lord now. So it's a wonderful thing to have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and to know that I'm now ready for heaven, ready for eternity. Because one great factor on my mind was this, when I was reading the Bible and seeking salvation, was this: I did not want to open my eyes in hell. Now let that sink in. I really did not want to go too far and to die and open my eyes in hell. So if you're not saved, you make sure you never open your eyes in hell. You get to Christ and have your sins forgiven. And make sure that you're trusting in Christ alone, not in religion or in a church or in good works or in the theories of Darwin and all the kind of stuff we're getting today, which is anti-biblical and anti-Christian. You make sure you get to Christ. Put your trust in him. And I tell you, it's good to have tasted of his goodness. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And blessed is the man that trusteth in him. I just commend salvation to you, to everybody here. And if you're not saved, don't miss God's salvation. Don't be deceived by the devil and by the world. And don't become a slave of the flesh. Get to Christ, and it's a wonderful thing to be able to tell you tonight, just in a little way, what the Lord has done for me. Thank you very much, and I pray that God will bless his word to us all.